You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Thursday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. You can visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Got a busy show today. We continue on with our staff mini-series. We're taking a look at Mike Eckler, special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach. Those will be in segments 1 and 2. And in segment number 3, we're going to take a ride on a sleigh. Sleigh Ride returns to Locked On Vols VFL Ron Slay. He'll give us some of his thoughts on Tennessee's win against Florida and what he thinks about this Volunteers team entering the SEC tournament. All that here on a Thursday, Locked On Vols. I am your host, Eric Kane, a radio personality in Knoxville, Tennessee, a contributor to the Tennessee Rivals site, where I cover Tennessee football recruiting. Glad to have you guys along for the ride. Let's buckle up, not waste any more time, and get right down into it. Mike Eckler, who is he? Well, if you are a Tennessee football fan, he is the guy that had quite a few zingers at the press conference on Monday afternoon. Mike Eckler is now the special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach for the University of Tennessee. He was the final staff member appointed to the inaugural staff for Josh Heupel here in Knoxville. Mike Eckler comes by way of North Texas, where he spent the 2020 campaign as the special teams coordinator there. He is 49 years old, a graduate of Kansas State University, where he played football linebacker and was a special team standout. Look at Mike Eckler's resume. He started off as a GA at Oklahoma for a couple years in 2003-04. Then he went to LSU, was a GA there for 3 seasons, 2005 through 2007, won a national championship, a part of that staff as a GA in 2007. He was a linebackers coach in Nebraska for 2 years from 08 to 10. He was the co-defensive coordinator and linebacker coach at Indiana for the 2011 and 2012 seasons. He was the linebacker coach at USC for 2013. He was at Georgia, where he coached the inside linebackers and was the special teams coordinator for the 2014 and 2015 season. We spoke on his run-in, or his lack thereof run-in, however way you want to spin it, with Jeremy Pruitt while at Georgia. We talked about that on Tuesday's podcast. He was at North Texas in 2016, where he was the defensive coordinator and linebackers coach. And went to North Carolina for 2 years, coaching linebackers 2017 and 2018. Was at Kansas in 2019, returned to North Texas in 2020, and now he is at Tennessee. Mike Eckler, early impressions, guys, I think we can all agree, energetic, intensity, very active on social media, and we're going to get into a lot of that stuff here in today's show. But first, I do want to say, I played football my whole life. Everybody's good in high school. You wouldn't go off and play college at any level if you weren't good in high school. I was not Division I SEC good. Absolutely not. I was 5'10", 205, or 210, and knew that I was not going to the Southeastern Conference or the National Football League. But I was good enough to go play some Division II. And when I went Division II, it was obviously a transition. The speed of the game is so quick. That's why it just amazes me sometimes covering these prospects and talking about the speed of the game, because I remember when I went from high school to Division II football, the speed of the game was just times 10. And if you're making that jump from high school to the SEC, I would imagine it's like times 100. So, utmost respect for some guys that can play football better than I ever could. But, you know, when I was at Carson Newman, my first 3 years before I became, first 2.5 years before I became a full-time starter at linebacker, I was a special teams guy. I took pride in special teams. I was on every special teams unit because I knew that's a way I got a seat on the bus. I knew as a freshman, if I made punt team, or if I made, not just punt team, but I had to make punt return too. And why stop there? I had to make kickoff team, if not just kickoff team, but kickoff return as well. Because if I'm not slated into, I was a backup linebacker, but if I'm not slated into the game plan, you know, as a freshman, that was my opportunity to make the bus. My opportunity to make the bus, make those road trips, and hang out with my friends. And let's be frank. I mean, it looks a lot cooler when you're on the football team and you're on an away trip rather than staying back in the dormitories and all these girls walking by saying, "Why aren't you with the team?" Well, I wasn't good enough. So I took pride in special teams. So seeing Mike Eckler, his passion for special teams, I love it. I absolutely love it, man. That's like speaking my language right there. Here's Mike Eckler talking Monday afternoon at the defensive staff press conference on why he just kind of dove headfirst in to special teams. And I think there's some parallels with my personal story and my personal football journey, albeit Division II, to his, you know, starting off and getting into the coaching ranks and why he dove into special teams. Give this a listen. This is Mike Eckler.
When they added the 10th coach, that's really when I decided to go the special teams route. Because I'd always gone, you know, linebackers, defensive coordinator, and so forth. And I've always loved special teams, but at that point, a lot of head coaches hadn't put the emphasis on it. And I saw it as an opportunity. You know, that's kind of how I made my name as a player. And I love that aspect of it. You get a coach every single player on the team. And it's all – you get to teach them the every – I call it transferable skill. So a kickoff, for example, it's no different. We'll pull a clip of a receiver stemming a corner, stepping on his toes, running a post cut. Guys, that's all you're doing. It's the same thing. We'll pull a clip of a linebacker setting up a block and look him in the eyes and sticking him. And it's all about space. It's all about where's the ball, where's the block, how much space do I have, teaching them relationships. So to sum it up, it's you're teaching your entire team the whole all the fundamentals of ball.
And then he followed that up with one of the zingers that we heard on the day. I'll save it. I'm sure you've seen it on social media. I played it on the starting lineup the other morning. Here is how Mike Eckler finished off that conversation about special teams, meaning you only get one shot at this thing, so you better come prepared. Here's Mike Eckler again.
You know, it's not like offense, not like defense where you have three opportunities. You got one shot. So your chili better be hot. You better be ready to rock and roll. And I enjoy that because I wake up about 3 a.m. every day and I don't need a cup of coffee. I'm ready to go.
Oh, man. Chili. Chili and coffee. Your chili better be hot. He don't need no coffee. He wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning every morning. Woof. From a guy that wakes up at 4:45 in the morning or 4:30 in the morning. I need spark. I don't drink much coffee. I do sometimes when the coffee doesn't taste like motor oil. Shout out Cumulus Knoxville. But I drink spark. But nonetheless, I got to have something. So that was Mike Eckler, one of his quotable moments from Monday's press conference. But he's a special teams guy. And special teams is where he's going to start. He'll be commanding the special teams units for Tennessee. I believe it'll be his instruction. And the other coaches will obviously chip in and help that out. But good to have some direction there. He will also be coaching the outside linebackers. So we'll have more on Mike Eckler coming up in segment number 2. Looking forward to diving into that. But before we get there, let me remind you about my friends at rockauto.com. Family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. rockauto.com, you can go there to shop for the auto and body parts of hundreds of different manufacturers. The prices are the best thing about rockauto.com. Always reliably low and the same for professionals as well as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts when you can get them cheaper online at rockauto.com? If you go to the website rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or your truck, write "locked on" in the "how did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Locked on in the "how did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's at rockauto.com. And remember, they have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's a classic or your daily driver, get everything you need with a few easy clicks. That's rockauto.com, and it's delivered right to your door. Again, I'll say it again. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's at rockauto.com. And also, guys, we're in the month of March, and so Blue Chew is a part sponsor of this podcast, and I really do appreciate their work here with us here on Locked On Vols. And remember, Blue Chew, it's unique. It's an online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED, can help men gain the extra confidence for when it's time to perform, when it's go time. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in the line at the pharmacy, and it ships directly to your door in a discreet package. Hey, discreet, I said it right this time. The process is simple. All you have to do, sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of the licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you're going to receive that prescription within just a couple days. The best part, it's done all online. Again, all online. You don't have to go face-to-face with anybody. None of those awkward, embarrassing moments. Don't like to swallow the pills? No problem there. There's other options with Blue Chew, and you can find those at BlueChew.com. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you and find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. So if you can benefit from the extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and the important safety information. But remember, before you go, try Blue Chew for free if you want to try it out when you use the promo code Locked On at checkout. Just pay $5 in shipping. Free if you want to try it out, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to receive your first month, free. You can perform all month long for free. We thank you for checking out Blue Chew, and thank Blue Chew, most and foremost, for sponsoring this podcast. Another segment coming up on Mike Eckler, Tennessee's new special teams coordinator, and I think it's a safe bet that anytime he's in front of a microphone, he's going to say something that's going to resonate with Tennessee fans. At least Tennessee fans are going to like it, but betting on the SEC, betting on Tennessee, you know, whatever you're betting on, it doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore. Now, all you have to do is listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You guys know my relationship with Lee. I go back with him about 3 years now. He's been joining the morning show that I work on in Knoxville, and he knows his stuff. You can get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Wherever you get your podcast. And so we move on. We're continuing the conversation with Mike Eckler, Tennessee's special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach. Touched on some special teams in segment number one. Let's conclude that conversation real quick. One of the things, or maybe sometimes even battles, if you're a football guy, you kind of know what I'm talking about, is do you employ your starters on your special teams units? The point is, or the hope is, you don't have to. And Mike Eckler will touch on that here in a second. But and more so than anything, you don't want to put those guys in harm's way. But then there are people like myself, special teams guys, that truly do believe it's a third of the football game. It really, really is. You've got to win the field position battle. Special teams is all about field position. How many times is your offense struggling, and you just go out there and you get a booming punt, shout out punter, but also a booming punt with a lot of hang time, and that punt team's racing down the field there to make the tackle when the returner catches it. I love special teams, and so I like a lot of what Mike Eckler had to say. But the conversation is, should starters be involved in special teams? Has Mike Eckler allowed starters to be involved in special teams? Real quick, not that you care, but my opinion, heck yeah, starters, get them out there. You need to win that third of the game. So if you need Marquez Callaway returning punts, Marquez Callaway returns punts. If you need McCullough running down on kickoff, McCullough's going to run down on kickoff. That's my thought. Jeremy Pruitt's thoughts as well. We saw that the past 3 years. Here's Mike Eckler's thoughts on starters playing special teams compared to not playing special teams.
In the past where I've been, we haven't used a lot of starters. And here's the reason. You have an opportunity to develop your whole entire roster, and you have an opportunity to leave some tread on the tire, so to speak, of your starters. But we're going to use exactly who we have to, or who we need to be the best in the conference. So I don't know what that looks like right now. And that's the fun part of spring ball. Our job as a special teams coordinator, my job is to identify every single player on our roster, identify their skill sets. And that's what we'll do, and we'll plug them in.
Again, that was Mike Eckler. Hasn't really done it in the past because, again, it's a chance to develop your entire team and allow those guys to get some breathers. But as I pointed out, and as we've seen here the past couple of seasons, the best players will play. And sometimes when your roster is as thin as it is and your talent level is not where it needs to be, you're going to see starters playing special teams. That is just my opinion. No, that is Mike Eckler on starters and the special teams route. Let's look at what he had to say about Neyland Stadium. First coach at Neyland Stadium in 05. I guess that was when he was at LSU. you know, one of those seasons he was at LSU, 05, 06, or 07. I know Tennessee played LSU in the SEC championship game. Shout out Eric Ainge in 07. I can say that because I'm one of his friends. But I'm not sure which season it was that they played. But nonetheless, I think it was 05. Mike Eckler came to Knoxville. He came, and what were his thoughts about the environment, the atmosphere, and really where it ranks in all of college football? Here's Mike Eckler talking about Neyland Stadium.
First of all, you walk in that stadium, and it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's incredible. It's all symmetrical, and just it's probably one of the most breathtaking just structures you've been in. Then you toss in 103,000 people, and they start singing Rocky Top, and it's an electric environment. I remember I was up in a press box at the time, and the thing's like shaking and swaying, and it was pretty awesome. So ever since that, I think we ended up coming out on top where I was in overtime, but it was an unbelievable battle, and just had a great experience.
And finally, here is another zinger, one of a couple on the day. I couldn't get the other zinger because he literally went into talking about a story when he was in Nebraska about how he ran for, or maybe it was, yeah, it was Nebraska, nonetheless, wherever he was, and how he ran a marathon because he bet one of his players if they have a good day of practice, he'd go run a marathon. He told that story, and it took literally like 8 minutes of our time. And I was supposed to be the next question after that, and they skipped over me. I was a little upset about it, but everyone's got a job to do. I get it. But nonetheless, there's a lot of other good stuff from Mike Eckler in his first media appearance. But here is one of the zingers that he kind of ended on. He did end on this. This was his last thing that he said to us. The question was asked, obviously, Mike, you're a fiery guy. You can see it on social media. You can see it where in your past stops. You can hear it from talking with people. And obviously the rumors about punching Jeremy Pruitt, which he was asking about. I played that clip the other day. Why are you so fiery? What's the intensity level like for you? Why do you coach like that? Here is Mike Eckler.
I think it's just DNA. You know, I think it's how you're wired as a person. It's no different than everybody's got a different coaching style, right? Everybody's got a different personality. And I just happen to enjoy Red Bull, and that's kind of how I coach.
I'm just a guy who loves to coach and loves Red Bull. good stuff there. Mike Eckler, I don't know how much we'll get to talk with him during spring. Hopefully the assistant coaches will have more access than Jeremy Pruitt's assistant coaches did. But, man, Mike Eckler, I think you should put a mic in front of him every single chance you get. I think it'll be good for Tennessee until he says something a little bit iffy. But nonetheless, that's Mike Eckler. That is our defensive mini-series here for a Thursday. We'll continue on tomorrow. We'll chat Rodney Gardner, defensive line coach Rodney Gardner, tomorrow on Locked On Vols. Bet online, guys. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The SEC tournament is in full swing tonight. First round action. Second round action because last night we had a game. But nonetheless, BetOnline, it's got that covered. It's got all the other conference tournaments covered. It's got award shows, TV shows, reality television. It's real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can possibly imagine. BetOnline, it's got you covered for all the news, the scores, the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's completely free to sign up. Last night, Gonzaga was down by 12 in the WCC tournament title game. All right, BYU was on a roll. Okay, remember, this is a BYU team that's 20-5 on the season. It's a good ball club. At one point at halftime, the live betting odds shifted to BYU. Okay, that was huge. That was huge at the time because Gonzaga has never been a dog at all this year because it's been Gonzaga. So it's madness. Stuff like that's going to happen each and every time these guys take the court. And if you want to get in on the improbabilities, if you want to get on the winning side, do it at betonline.ag. Head on over to the website, use your mobile device, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcoming bonus on your first deposit. To get that, you need to remember that promo code Locked On. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. And as we continue on with the tournament talk, as we will each and every day, probably this entire month, I remind you, BuiltBar.com, you can decide the fate of your favorite... You can decide the fate of your favorite flavors. That's at BuiltBar.com. You got a tournament bracket challenge. Today's matchup, bottom right-hand side of your bracket, we're going to have the Caramel Brownie going up against Cherry. The winner of that matchup will take on the Double Chocolate in the Sweetest 16 round. Below that, another matchup today, Lemon Almond Cheesecake going up against the Carrot Cake with Walnuts. The winner of that will take on the Coconut Brownie Chunk. Two big matchups to see who squares off in the Sweetest 16. We're going to be voting every single day this month to find out which Built Bar is going to reign supreme at the end of the month. Just like which basketball team is going to cut down the nets when it's all said and done. And all that can be found at BuiltBar.com. It is the protein bar that tastes like a chocolate bar. It's 100% chocolate. Amazing selections. Got over 18 OG bars. Six new ones. They have it all at BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com or on their Twitter account at Built_Bar. You can check it out. And don't forget, use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. You can check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar out there. It's BuiltBar.com. We got our VFL Ron Slay coming up here to conclude the show here in a moment. He'll be talking college basketball and Tennessee basketball. And, hey, we have survived in advance on into March Madness. And this year, the Locked On Podcast Network will be live on Selection Sunday, March the 14th, reacting to who's in and who's out of the NCAA tournament. Big Ten Ben Stevens hosts Selection Sunday live with local experts from around the Locked On College Network of podcasts. Follow at Locked On Live on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook today and watch our live Selection Sunday special on March the 14th. I want to welcome back a friend of the program and a VFL favorite. His name is Ron Slay. Ron, how you doing today, man?
Man, I'm good, man. Ready for this SEC tourney to crank up. Get this thing rolling.
Yeah, exactly. Tennessee will be in action tomorrow in the afternoon, of course, and it's kind of up and down play. That's kind of been the theme for Tennessee. But what are your thoughts now after that big win against Florida on Sunday heading into the SEC tournament?
I think it's a perfect time for them, you know, getting that momentum going from the Florida win, getting a rest this week a little bit, and, you know, starting to put things in perspective. You know, at this point last year, the season was canceled right before they walked out on the floor. So taking this opportunity to go out and prove something, you know, it's a lot in front of them, a lot more season left, but all of it's in their hands. You know, it's no more got to get it right, go back to the drawing board. You know, you got to – it's win or go home from this point on, you know. You know, getting into the NCAA tournament plays a factor, but, you know, you start in the SEC tournament. You know, start with that mindset and try to push ahead. You got the tournament right here in your backyard, so what better place to get this thing rolling going into the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, you said win or go home. It's that type of, you know, it's that turning point in the season. We're in March, and of course, you know, Jay Billis, ESPN, said that Tennessee, in regards to the NCAA tournament, that Tennessee can make a deep run or just go home early. And that's exactly kind of how I view this team and how I view this team. Yeah, you wouldn't surprise me at all. Like right now, I'm not expecting Tennessee to make it out of opening weekend because it's been so inconsistent, but if it were to go on a run, you know, to the Sweet 16 or something like that, wouldn't surprise me at all. How do you kind of view all of that? And I know tournament play is all about matchup and who's hot and who's not, right, and all that stuff, but kind of what are your thoughts on his comments?
Well, I think he's right on. He's spot on. This is a Tennessee team that at this point you got to take for what they've shown. You know, you take them for the cards they've been dealing to us. You know, we see a team that shows up and shows out, then you see a team that doesn't show up and doesn't even come out. So I think Billis is right on with his assessment, yours too. But one thing about this team, man, I think they know when it's time to go, and I feel like, you know, they're back to that defensive pressure and defensive presence that they had on early in the season. You know, I think the physicality plays a different part in their game. And once they're physical and they're healthy, I think this team does go on the road. And I think that's where they are right now. You know, hopefully Josiah Jordan-James got a little bit more healthy with this week leading up to it. And we'll see. We have to see where the chips fall. But I'm banking on them getting out of the first round, you know, out of the first weekend, if you will. And I see them at least getting to the second weekend, I'm going to be honest.
Ron Slay, VFL, joining Locked On Vols. And so much of the conversation has revolved around John Fulkerson here in the last couple of weeks, his inconsistent play, and Rick Barnes coming to his aid, you know, having his back. And then, obviously, the performance that he turned in on senior day. He says he's undecided on if he's going to return. Of course, he has that extra year. Really, all these players have that extra year because of the pandemic last year. But nonetheless, John Fulkerson turns in a great showing. He kept Tennessee in that ball game from getting run out of the gym in the first half against Florida. 14 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, had a steal. Your thoughts on John Fulkerson, his importance moving on into the tournament, and, you know, if you see him coming back and playing another year for Tennessee?
Well, the first part, I think that's exactly what they need from Fulkerson. They need timing from him. Timing and timely plays. You know, when the team's struggling and they need somebody to lean on, you got to be able to carry that. And then once everybody else gets going, then you can take the back seat a little bit and just let everybody be them and let the talent take over. But you got to go out and set the tone. And I think that's what he did against the Florida team on Sunday. But looking ahead, as far as him coming back, if you listen to his presser in his post game, it didn't sound like it. It didn't sound like he really wanted to go through a situation as emotional as he was in that senior day, you know. But one thing for sure, he misses those fans. And I think once you start putting that into perspective, and hopefully you get some more fans in the NCAA tournament, and maybe that strikes a match under him and, you know, makes him want to return to see 22,000 screaming fans in Thompson Bowling, and that'll be a totally different experience. And I think they will have a better year. But one thing for sure, man, that's a lot of years in one place, you know, and I would love to go back and do 4 years, but 6 years, that's asking a lot of a man, from all the conditioning and everything. You almost got to start treating him like a pro if he comes back. So it'll be interesting to see what he does, but I don't see him leaning towards it right now.
I couldn't agree more. I took a redshirt year my freshman year of college. I had another year to play, but at the end of my season, my true senior year, I was like, man, I've been here for 4 years. I love it here. It's time to move on. And so that was kind of my thoughts, even though I love football and I would love to. I can't go play football now, and so I could have had that other year, but just the point in time in my life. So I get that for sure. I want to change the direction here a little bit. You know, Ron, I'm searching for different answers here. We're getting the same answers over and over. Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer. Keon's a lottery pick. Jaden Springer's likely a first-round pick. Do you view those guys as definitely gone? Do you have a different opinion other than anybody else I've talked to about those guys? Because I would assume both of those guys are going to be ones and duns and go ahead and try to get paid and go on and start their professional career.
Man, selfishly, I really want one of them to stay. If you know Keon and you watch him over the years, he's a guy that's very loyal, not a guy jumping around from AAU team to AAU team, sticking at one school throughout, you know, and you kind of see that in him, you know, being loyal and wanting to finish things that he started, you know, and leaving things better than when he got there. So if it was one that I would say, man, that had a chance at coming back just because I've been able to watch him in high school and see and follow him, I would say Keon would be the guy. But, man, when you're talking lottery, that's not nothing you can pass up, you know. As far as Jaden, with him being first round, tough, man. It's tough to say, man. Anytime that first round is right there. And, you know, the bad thing about it is the longer you stay in college nowadays, it's kind of held against you. So you almost got to go when you're early and you got a hot name. Because if you stay there 4 years, you can be an All-American, the SEC Player of the Year, and still not get drafted. So
got more tread on those tires.
Exactly, and that's the way they look at it. Instead of you being experienced and knowing what to do, they look at it differently. So I would say it's going to be tough to bring those guys back, man. I hate I can't give you a different answer here than anybody else, but that's how it's looking.
Well, it's funny because I don't know if you're familiar with Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel, but I had Mike on the podcast last week, and I kind of asked him the same question. He said, I think both are going to be gone, but if I were to pick one that maybe might think about coming back, it would be Keon, as crazy as that kind of sounds right now, because he's probably a lottery pick. One more question. We'll get you out the door here, man. If Keon Johnson were to come back and try to refine his offensive skills and kind of work on his game, excluding, heaven forbid, a catastrophic injury of some sorts, I feel like Keon Johnson would be a lottery pick next year as well. So it may be, and, Jaden, if he came back, he could maybe play himself into a lottery pick, whereas Keon, I feel like it's a lottery pick either year. What are your thoughts on that?
I can agree. I agree with you on that. I think Keon, his ceiling is so high, he can only get better. You would see him coming back, shooting the ball better, handling the ball better, cutting down on his turnovers, and always being able to play defense. I think he would easily be up for Defensive Player of the Year if he came back, especially seeing what Herb Jones did. So I agree with him being able to be the one that could come back. Jaden, I think when he's hot, and I think that's always been in his mind as far as going pro. But like I said, with Keon, man, he's a guy that is loyal and very, very loyal, especially to the state of Tennessee. He's a guy that's here, and I tell you one thing, if he did come back, I sure believe that would impact Forky's decision also.
And without a doubt, plus you've got Bayshak coming in, you've got Kennedy Chandler coming in. This team is going to reload for another run. But it is March time here for Tennessee basketball. SEC tournament awaits. That'll tip off tomorrow for the Volunteers. And, of course, the big dance just right around the corner. BFL Ron Slay. Ron, I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. And we'll get you on a time or two before basketball season ends.
Man, appreciate you, E, man. Let the madness begin.
Yes, sir. As always, a big thanks to Ron Slay, all of our guests who join and take some time out of their days to join our podcast here on Locked On Vols. And great conversation. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And hope you guys are getting geared up for Tennessee basketball, getting its start in the SEC tournament tomorrow afternoon. It's been a fun show. We got back into our defensive staff mini-series. We looked at Mike Eckler, special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach, heard a ton of audio, and of course, just caught up with the VFL. We'll continue on with the staff mini-series tomorrow with more basketball previews for Tennessee in the SEC tournament. All that and more on a Friday Locked On Vols. That's coming up tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.